Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting Access the Ancient Science of Sahaja. It is December 5th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of America. Welcome everyone to the show this evening. It's a pleasure to have you with us. And I'd also like to especially welcome the leader of this teaching, who is Sri Kanasji, the Mahaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master. Sri Kanasji, welcome, and how are you doing this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie, and how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thanks. And I apologize, I had a little technical problem initially, but can you hear me better now?
I can hear you better now.
Okay, and I can hear you better as well. So, anyway, for those people who haven't listened to the show before, we're going to talk about some of the basic fundamentals of this very, very ancient teaching as well. This show is not rehearsed. There's nothing done beforehand. Sri Kanasji is just giving us information directly from Spirit, as he is the living Sarosha Master. So, Sri Kanasji, I know a lot of people are wondering how this teaching came about. I do like to talk about the history of it a little bit in the beginning, and then what I'd like to do is talk about the reason that this teaching exists, why people would want to step on this path. So, but first of all, if you could go back a little bit to the history, could we start there?
Yes, it's an interesting history because it's what we call a paradox. In terms of it's coming and going, it goes and comes. So it's not public, but it always exists when they're what we call the lower worlds, a manifestation. So it always exists, but it's not necessarily public. And that means that right now the teaching of ACTA is public, and it's been public for 26 years. And that means we can teach it in open forums and different areas and give seminars and what have you publicly without it being persecuted. So we're in an era of the public teaching, whereas sometimes when it's a hidden teaching, then it's persecuted to where it can't be taught like in libraries or give presentations and introductory talks and talk to the public. That's what that means, being public and non-public. Means you just can't talk to people about the teaching openly. And what happens when that takes place is the living Sarosha Master exists, but he may be giving sign language on a one-on-one basis to a student or talk privately, but it can't be in an open forum where others would hear or when you have some public presentation. That means non-public. And therefore, the teaching's history is just a coming and going in history of going from public to non-public. And the higher Sanskrit language that we use and some of the words that are considered to be foreign, like Akacha and Mahaji, Sahaji, that word is prakasana, which means the public presentation of the teaching. And when it's a prakasana, it means the opposite, it's non-public. So that's really the history of ACTA. But going into the basic fundamentals, as I always point out when we use a short definition, ACTA is the ancient science of Sahaji. It means it's the original and most sacred teaching of the out-of-body experience, the movement of soul, negotiating through the lower worlds to spiritual liberation. And that's wherein some of the, we're not a New Age teaching, and that means that in those factions, the higher consciousness would come into one, whereas in ACTA, we go out and travel to the higher planes. In other words, there's a movement of soul, and that movement is called Sahaji, the one word of the out-of-body experience or the soul movement or travel on the inner planes. And that's very important because when they talk about a a high feeling or emotion coming into it.
I have a message
for you. People can have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I apologize because there's another phone in the office that was a call came in and I ended it and someone proceeded to give a message. So I do apologize.
Okay, I understand.
Please continue.
Yes. The basic fundamental or kind of the prime directive of Akita is for the ready soul to get this spiritual liberation that we're talking about. That means that there is 1 in 100, it's like 1% of the population that are considered ready, and that ready soul can now recognize the teaching, the high teaching of Akita, and travel through the four lower planes of the physical, astral, causal, and mental planes. It moves through these arenas into the fifth plane, which is the plane of Satlok, or Satnam as the ruler on that plane. And that is the fifth area, that fifth plane, is fifth dimension, whatever you want to call it. It's a high, the first God world of the higher planes. And that's when soul is liberated in self-realization. Self-realization is the first major goal in Akita, with two others remaining, and that of God realization and spiritual mastery. God realization would be on the eighth plane and mastery on the tenth plane, respectively. And those goals are the main goals on the path of Akita that we offer as an experience. And we have maybe a few thousand members and probably about 20 masters, something like that. So we do practice what we preach in terms of people having the experience of Sarosha mastery. And that mastery, again, it happens at the 10th plane. The program or membership, in terms of gaining mastery, the time frame is approximately 30 years. Now, that sounds like a long time, but in that period of time, all the millions of years of karma is worked out in that short period of time. So it really isn't that long, and some people go much quicker than the 30-year period. At the same time, we don't charge any money, so it's not like it's a financial strapping situation. We don't know none of the... There's nothing that has a price tag on the path. The books are free, the seminars are free, and there's no contribution and donations, no hidden costs. In other words, you listen to us for a while, and then you become a member. We don't hit you up for any sort of financial obligation whatsoever. So people are very happy with that because it has no undertone of us trying to sell something or push something onto the public to get their money. And so we just get rid of all those thoughts and those underlying issues about the money thing. Like, we're trying to make a living. We're not doing that. It makes it a very pure motive to present the teachings. So that's our responsibility. So we don't get paid to do this. We're actually attempting to find the ready soul so they can raise their consciousness and move to these planes of liberation on the fifth plane and higher, which is very important. That's why the first five initiations come quicker than the higher initiations. They'll come within 5 years. You can gain the fifth initiation. And they come about a year in between. And the initiations higher than that are about 5 years. That's why if you do the math, it's about 30 years to mastery. But again, that doesn't always happen. There's different individual circumstances for people when they step onto the path. So we sort of analyze the situation for who is ready and who isn't. And again, some people go quicker than others, because it's a gaining of confidence and the experience of sahaji for one to gain self-realization. And it's very important experience. It's very ecstatic and very uplifting. And we often talk about the essence of soul. Maybe you'd like to discuss the essence of man and the fact that he is spirit, and what that means to be soul, listen to the sound current, etc., and the huge chant. Maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about that, okay?
Sure, I'd love to. The thing is that people are always referring to soul in possession, like saying, I have a soul, my soul, your soul, and that's not actually accurate. It's because we are soul, and that's that part of us that's immortal and goes through many lifetimes until we finally find the high path, which is Akata, and we can make that decision as to whether we want to come back and reincarnate any further, or whether we don't, whether when we translate, translate from this physical plane, if we just want to stay in the higher worlds at that point. So we get that opportunity to do that. And when we become self-realized, that's really when we have a true recognition of who we are as soul, and the great confidence that comes with that ability to know really who we are in the universe. So it's very, very important. But we are immortal, and once we get onto the path of Akata, after the first couple of years, we're no longer having to resolve karma. We're living a life of dharma, which is neither not creating karma in any sense of the word. And so that's really wonderful to know that if we're not creating karma — karma is what keeps us tied to the lower planes — so if we're not creating karma, then we don't have to come back and reincarnate in the physical plane anymore, because it is the lowest plane of all the planes, lowest meaning the vibrations are the densest, and it's the most difficult plane to exist in, especially now when we're in a Kali Yuga, which is the Iron Age, when you have the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Copper Age, and or sometimes it's also called the Bronze Age, and the Kali Yuga, the Iron Age. So we're in the most negative of all eras, and it's difficult to be here, although there are Sirosha Masters who decide to stay here and do their work here as well, and some of them are very, very ancient in age, and that's quite possible, because once they've gotten to that point and mastered how to exist, they're able to stay here in the physical body, albeit they don't really come down into the masses, to the cities very often, because they need to be in a very salubrious, natural, pastoral setting that nurtures them, because the vibrations are higher there. Srikaji, I don't want to take too much time
I really appreciate that wisdom and explanation. What I was trying to get at a minute ago is sort of the fact where I was trying to say, well, each soul is made up of light and sound, like a sound current. And so the sound current is like the high electrical pitch that we hear, the ringing in the ear, that is the essence of man. And it's very important to hear that sound current. And we had a student last week that wasn't able to hear the sound current. So I recommended that he go into a quiet place and trying to listen for it. And sure enough, he heard it, and it was very exciting for him. It was this ecstasy feeling of knowing who he was as soul. So when you hear the sound current, it's an exciting experience, because now you know your eternal self. So it's very interesting that Akata is a light and sound path. I call it the light and sound path, the most direct path, the only path, which becomes audacious and you lose that 99 out of 100 while listening to that. At the same time, who talks about light and sound? Very few people do, and very few teachings talk about it. So there are a few light and sound paths, but we put more attention on it, being the original one of the ancient art of Sahaji. So Sahaji is what we learn in the motion of closing the eyes And then we're in that spin cycle of spinning soul, because even physically, physical world is spinning, but we see it as not moving, because long ago, the spinning was causing major calamity in the physical plane, so they somewhat stopped it by virtue of focus, like focusing the attention, and then pretty much saying stop, and it sort of stopped, but didn't really stop. It just became a conditioning process. So in reality, soul is in a spinning cycle within. Now, when we show the Sroshis symbol, the stylized S-R-A-O-S-H-A, it looks like the top of a spiral anyway. It's very interesting. And in that symbol is a sort of a mystical idea of the four lower planes and the rings to the soul plane, which is the letter O in the middle, and that is the fifth plane. You can actually use that logo that's on our website, akacha.com. You can use that logo for a contemplation exercise that we recommend that people do each day for 30 minutes. Now, would that be all right, Leslie, if you took us through a huge chant, or would you like me to do that, or you can, sometimes you do that if you want to do. Okay.
Sure, sure, I'd love to do that. So basically, we want you to be sitting quietly, comfortably. We can have our feet flat on the floor. We can cross them in tail fashion, and whichever way is most comfortable. But the thing is, we want to be in as quiet a place as possible, and I always recommend that people use earplugs if there is some extraneous noise. Even the hum of a refrigerator can be disturbing, or sometimes you might even hear a little bit of traffic outside. So you want to try to obliterate all that as much as possible. And then what we're going to do is close our eyes, and you can take a couple of deep breaths slowly to relax and put our attention on what's called, there's some real static coming from your end, Srikadashi. There's some,
okay,
a lot of static.
I was moving
okay.
the microphone. Is it okay now?
It's okay. Yeah, it was. That's okay. I lost one eardrum, but I still have the other one, so it's okay. I just wanted to say that we want to be in a quiet place with not any kind of noise like that, or any other kind of noise that will disturb us. And then we want to put our attention with our eyes closed on the tisra tail, or what's called the third eye, that spot between the eyebrows. And gently put our attention there. It's not a forceful thing. But what we're going to do is chant the word hue. And hue is designated as the word on the 10th plane, but it actually does come from the 12th plane. So it's extremely high vibrational word. If you're using any other word from the lower planes, it's not going to get you into the higher worlds, because even is from the mental plane, the fourth plane, and you're still dealing with the worlds of duality, positive and negative, when you use the word om. So hue will definitely get you into the higher worlds. It will definitely dispel any kind of negativity that's happening. It's very balancing. It's very protective. And it sounds like this. Hue. Contemplate for 30 minutes every day, and we can do the hue chant for a few minutes or longer than that, whatever feels comfortable to us, but it is important to do it at the beginning. And the reason we contemplate for 30 minutes is because that 30-minute period actually covers a 24-hour span, so it enables us to have complete protection and balance during that time. And of course, you're welcome to do more than one contemplation a day, but it is highly recommended that an individual do one contemplation a day at least. So when we do that, we might hear the sound current, which you might hear as a high-pitched electrical sound. You might see a bright light. It could be one of the colors of the lower planes, or it also could be a white light that's from the higher plane, or a yellow light. Sometimes you might see the blue light, which is the inner light of the master. And all these experiences are fine as well. You might have a very vivid out-of-body experience. You might attend an inner satsang class. So contemplation is a very active state because we're actually doing things like this in contemplation. So we're not just sitting there and blocking things out. We're actually moving on the sound current towards our destination of spiritual mastery. And Sri Kadasthi, is anything would you like to add to that?
Well, the idea of feelings, when people have the feelings, should remain intact when one steps onto the path. And to know that it's very important, along with a good sense of humor as well, because we don't have serious disease, as is said sometimes. In other words, it's knowing that the soul is a happy entity, and that the comedy and uplifting and true laughter and being of joy is very important. Whereas I find that the cosmic consciousness teachings, which is anything outside of Akasha, they get very serious about their bliss states. It's kind of funny in a way. It's the irony of the whole thing, of being too perfect, and nobody can live up to that. So when you come to Akasha, it's a state of balance. You're balanced, and they have what is known as the five passions of anger, lust, greed, attachment, and vanity. But my attitude and what the masters have taught throughout history, the living Srosha master lineage, has talked about moderation in all things. The moderation of balance is what that means. And not to be so perfect that you can't be talking to somebody outside of the teaching or Akasha. So what is important is that we learn how to be a good citizen or to work with people and to have good cheer, if at all, and to try to steer clear from argumentation. I know that takes place, but it doesn't really have to be, because most disputes are semantics, like a mismeaning, mismanagement of meaning, mostly. That sounds like alliteration, mismanagement of meaning, right? Meaning mismanagement. Yes. At the same time, it's important to understand that those we should be seeking balance and agreement, to be agreeable if we can. It's not a moral code. I'm not saying we have to do that. But becoming neutral, usually, and that's like would be the middle path, neutrality. We sometimes don't talk about that, but when people try to do neutrality, most often they become negative in the process, and that becomes a problem. So we try to say, be of good cheer and let it go, and you'll find that happiness can be found, and especially on this path, where we welcome people as they are. People don't need to change. They just need to step onto the path. All right, but remember, it's not for everybody, and that's the irony, is all this grand wisdom that we have here on Saturday nights or any time we talk about Akasha can only be heard by that 1 in 100 right now. I mean, it can be heard by anybody now, but when they go away from us and not listening to our discourse, I'll say, the purport of the teaching, when they go out of that realm, now it's forgotten or reverberative to their life. You know, it doesn't fit in. To the ready soul, it fits perfectly into their life, and now there's an upliftment, a constant state of upliftment that takes place. And then you had mentioned a little while ago about doing the daily 30-minute contemplation, which is a high suggestion. We recommend it highly because that's how one unfolds to what we call the initiation levels. Each plane that we were talking about has an initiation level, and initiations go on into the higher planes, And those higher planes are virtually unlimited. And in a sense, they really are unlimited to the infinity of spirit. And each plane has an initiation level upon it. And that is an achievement that is necessary in growth for the individual. Because without the path of Akashic, how do you know what you're doing? Or how do you measure your life? And is it important to measure? It surely is, because you have to know where you are in the universe. See, if you're just out there in space, there's a teaching called Unity that some of my relatives, when I was young, that it was a very beautiful teaching, very positive thing. But when they talked about God and heaven, they said, well, when you pass away, you're just in space, right? And I thought, well, that's interesting. You're out in space, you know, or like all of a sudden you're just out there floating around. But they didn't really give any designation of being in a place or what have you. So it was very interesting how it was a teaching of physical life, but beyond that, it didn't have anything. It was like a pleasant moral code, and people were very pleasant. Their sense of humor somewhat was not quick of wit, or the levity wasn't built into their days. It was more or less being peaceful or attempting to be perfect again. But they didn't really have an afterlife that was definitive. So in Akashic, we talk about going in this state of Sahaji, of traveling in Sahaji, or the Sahaji itself, and in that motion going to higher planes of existence. And we can do that now. We don't do it later. We don't pass away, wait your entire lifetime and be miserable. You can go there now, presently, close your eyes and go to the inner planes, or think of a higher level, or think of myself on the inner as a teacher if you need help or protection, and I'll be there immediately. There's some really good stuff this week, don't you think?
Yeah, I absolutely do think so. We've got about 3 minutes left. I do want to mention this, that if you're interested in getting more information about Akita, please go to our website, akita.com. You'll see the introductory book and as well other additional books about Akita. They're yours to download at no charge. We do not charge anything on this path. So it should not be an obstacle to people who want spiritual unfoldment, to continue their spiritual unfoldment, who are interested in gaining spiritual mastery. Money should not be an option for that. So that's why we do not charge anything on this path. And I do want to, encourage people to go there. And also, if you've been listening for a while and you do think that you're ready to take the step for mastery, for membership, which will eventually will lead to mastery, then you can go ahead and apply online as well. We just need your information so that we can keep track of your growth and where you are. And again, there is no charge. We will not be asking for any donations and do not accept any donations. Sri Kadavji, just quickly, did you have anything to say? There's about 90 seconds, and maybe I should just give you the floor and let you close at this point. I do want to thank everyone for being with us this evening, and we look forward to having you with us again next Saturday evening at the same time at 6:30. And there are many shows that you can listen to the archives if you want to go back and listen to some of those, or again, go to the website. There's audios of Sri Kadavji. So Sri Kadavji, I wound that time down just a little bit for you. We've probably got about 45 seconds left, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to say good evening to everyone.
Well, for those that can't see me, obviously, on the call, there is a Baraka Bashad sign that's given by Living Sroshi Master. He raises his right hand, palm facing out, and states that, "I am always with you. May the blessings be Baraka Bashad."